Wow. Can you hear me now? Mike, you might not need me so loud. I'm kind of a loud talker. Look at all the children out here tonight. How incredible. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." You have no idea how this blesses my heart to look out and see all these children here tonight. It's beautiful. I want to welcome the online audience. So thankful for each and every one of you. We appreciate the people who get on every week and listen to our messages and support our body here. And thank you for all of you that came out tonight. Love to see all your faces. Pastors, so appreciative that you give me this opportunity to share. So I just wanted to say that when I was first asked to speak tonight, I had in mind that I wanted to talk about the prodigal son's jacked up brother because he's so relatable, right? But the further I got into the message, the more I felt the Lord pulling me in a different direction. He expressed to my heart that he wanted tonight to be more of a testimony. And then he dropped this scripture into my heart. Philippians 4:19, and this is of the NIV. "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. Lord, I just pray that you take me out of the equation and that your message pours forth tonight. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall on this body. Lord, that you'll open the minds and the hearts of the people, that they will receive all that you have for them tonight. I thank you for this time, and I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his mighty name we pray. Amen. So this scripture led me on a journey of looking at our needs. And as you know, there are five basic needs that all humans have that must be met in order to survive. We need food, water, air, shelter, and sleep. And without just one of those, just one of those needs not being met, a person's physiological state would be in danger. God created life, speaking it into existence, with a dependency at the center of its formation. Our God purposed all life to need him because he is Jehovah Jireh. It is his very nature to provide. But he didn't just stop there. God designed life for more than mere survival. It is not enough for him that creation survives, but rather he wants it to thrive. Sewn into all of us are these additional necessities, divine requirements that when met, thriving takes place. Tony Robbins is an author and motivational speaker who has elaborated on the thriving side of creation. And he teaches that there are six secondary needs of every human, and they are all at the core of thriving. They are certainty, variety, significance, connection, love, growth, and contribution. And so when I look at this list, I think to myself, God also meets every single one of these secondary needs. He offers us the certainty of heaven through the redemptive work of his Son. All those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are saved and will one day enter eternity where there's no more tears, no more pain, and we're met with kingdom rewards and riches. 2 Peter 3:13 reads, "But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." See, God then gives us variety on a daily basis. Every day is different, and it's filled with free will choices of where we can go, what we can eat, who we can see, who we can talk to, We have all kinds of choices at our fingertips. The options are absolutely endless. And then there's significance. Each of us have others who are dependent upon us. Whether we realize it or not, God uses us to just place these indelible imprints all over the world. In the workings of being significant comes incredible connections and love. God not only enters into a personal, fulfilling relationship with each and every one of us, but after that, he places in our lives others, intentionally, for this continual flowing of love and connection. This is the deliberate design of Christ's kingdom, total reliance on him and intimate union with him, while simultaneously needing others while they need us. Through our personal relationship with Christ and the love and connection that we experience with others, we now experience growth. It is never the Father's intention to leave us as he found us when we commit our lives to him. But rather, he heals us, he matures us, he changes us, growing and refining us to become more and more like his Son. And as we're being transformed, we're called into contribution. Service is a need that all of us have. Christ imparted it into man, and then he modeled it. Every one of us are called and equipped for service. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." So you see, he meets our needs. He meets the need of certainty, variety, significance, connection and love, growth, and contribution. But he doesn't do this by authoritative establishment, but rather he does it intricately and intimately. Let me give you a couple of examples. As God was forming this message for tonight, I couldn't stop thinking about a divinely crafted connection. I have been so blessed by this friendship. It's no secret that I adore children, and that's why I was so excited to see all of them here tonight. Littles are unequivocally pure, full of unbridled emotion. They will tell you things that'll knock your socks off. And I have to say that I am so blessed to be able to work upstairs with your littles. I'm thankful for every one of them. But this particular relationship has been a blessing to me. Though she's not so little anymore, sweet Addison has been a conduit of God's love and fulfillment for me. See, as her mama's responsibilities in the church grew, I began to hang out with little three-year-old Addison. Now, this was a time in my life where I was experiencing some really deep insecurities as well as sadness. And God knew he could bring me added love and joy through these moments with Addison and to reach me in a very profound way. He orchestrated all these different moments to reach me, to teach me, to affect me. And the truth is, I cannot count the number of times that I have been impacted by the littles of this body. About a year ago, I came in here for Sunday morning service and my heart was broken. I stood silently, tears flowing from my eyes. It was during worship and I was just quiet. And all of a sudden, you know, I began to feel the presence of God. And I said, "Jesus, I just need you. I need you to heal my heart. I need your love." And out of nowhere, I feel this little arm slip around my leg and squeeze me, lean into me with all her little body, and I look down, and it's Judah. Oh, goodness. She squeezed me tightly, and she looked at me with pure love, and it was exactly what I needed, a tangible expression of Jesus's love for me. You will never convince me that that was not God. See, he drew a child out of her seat, caused her to come to me and give me unconditional love at the very moment that I needed it most. Jesus has used Judah and Addison and so many other littles in this body to bring me love, his love. Christ uses his creation every day for the purpose of touching the lives of his children. The book of Jeremiah tells us that God's love is everlasting. His word promises that if we call to him, he will answer us and he will tell us great and unsearchable things. And that's all done by his faithfulness. In fact, God's grace is so relentless that his face is entirely turned towards us, always going before us, planning and preparing and doing and orchestrating in a manner that is the best for our futures. Isaiah 65:24 reads, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." You see, he knows our innermost thoughts and every need we'll ever have, but more astonishing than his knowing is his ability, his supernatural ability to fulfill those needs. Such love and faithfulness is a lavish gift to all of us. It's his gift to all of creation. My moment with Judah is just that, one moment. But for God, he takes those moments and he multiplies them, forming in your life and in my life a long game of love. The long game. That's actually what I've titled tonight's testimony. It's a common term in golf and even in business, and long game refers to a distance and longevity mindset. And such a concept avoids instant gratification and instead focuses on building a foundation that will serve you well in the future. It sounds like a biblical concept, doesn't it? It's a revelation that the Lord opened mine and Steve's eyes to recently. And the only way to have you grasp this godly construct of long game love is to go back to the beginning. Now, the birth of multiples has taken the spotlight in recent years. There was the Goslin sextuplets and even the Solomon octuplets. TV shows have been produced and gone on all around the world to show the birth and life of raising multiples. So it wasn't surprising to find myself caught up in the buzz of our own local community's nonuplets. Now, for those unfamiliar with the term, that is nine. Yeah, nine. Can you imagine? Now, the excitement and anticipation in the community was palpable. And on July 20th, 2012, in Perry, New York, nine healthy cuties were born. Nine! I got permission to share a photo of mom right after birth. Go ahead, Kaylee. What did you think I was talking about? Now, due to the pure German short-haired pointer bloodline of parents Fiza and Kai, all puppies were spoken for, except one, discount puppy. At 10 weeks old, he still had no future home. One September Friday, I was standing outside of Perry Elementary School, and owner Jamie Kelly approached me, and she placed discount puppy in my arms and said, "I think you need this dog." I said, "I'm not looking for a dog." She said, "Yeah, but I feel it in my heart. Like every day that I see you, I think this is Vineyard's dog. Look, I brought you food. Take him home for the weekend. And if you still on Monday think he's not your dog, we'll take him back and we'll keep him. But I think he's your dog." Yeah, so now here I am, discount puppy in my arms, two squealing children on either side of me. And I think, ooh, now the hard part. How do I explain this creature to the husband? Right? Now, this had never happened before. Their dogs were always spoken for before they were even born, and here was Discount Puppy going home with me and my children. That night, Steve came home from work, and he took one look at the adorable creature and emphatically said, no, no way, no. In fact, I think he said something like, it's me or the dog. Now, I assured him. I said, look, listen, I'm telling you, it's only for the weekend. Once these children see how much work is involved in caring for a puppy, they're going to jump ship. We can give Discount Puppy back, and it'll all be fine. I was sure of it. I thought it'd be good for Paige and Parker to see just how much responsibility it takes caring for an animal. By 9 o'clock that night, Steve's sound asleep on the couch, and snuggled in his arm is the pup, with his chin on his shoulder and breathing in his ear. And I have to tell you, my heart melted. Early the next morning, I loaded up the kids, and off to Batavia we went to Petco, where we got more food and bowls and leashes and a plethora of toys and a crate and a bed and a name tag engraved Dexter. It's what Paige wanted to name him. Well, we got home with all of the stuff, and Steve says, oh, I see we have a puppy. But what he didn't see, nor did I, is that God intentionally placed Dexter in our family. The reason no one had claimed him, the reason his owner felt that he belonged to the vineyards, was because God was orchestrating the whole thing. He knew what was coming our way and wanted to place in our lives a source of unconditional love and unrelenting joy. And for nearly 10 years, Dexter was just that. He saw Steve through osteomyelitis, the uncertainty of career changes, and the death of his mom. He saw Parker through debilitating anxiety with a calming comfort and bond that soothed our son. He loyally sat by Paige through countless adolescent tears and her first broken heart. And for me, Dexter saw me through clinical depression, many lonely nights when Steve was on the road, and most recently a cancer scare and surgery. Every day, Discount Puppy lived for us, bringing laughter and joy in abundance. Dexter was the greatest welcoming party ever created. If you pulled in our driveway, he would race to that door, jumping up and down repeatedly with his 75-pound body, wagging and barking with pure delight. He had uncontainable jubilation at anyone that stopped over. And the moment you moved, he would jump up, ready to go anywhere, anytime. There were countless hours of playing fetch and sitting fireside, trips to Letchworth where we actually would marvel more at Dexter's excitement rather than the breathtaking scenery. Dex had the personality of a wild, relentless child and a gentle, wise old man all rolled into one. His energy had no end. And yet, when he did finally give in, he would take over the love seat and there was no moving him. And Lord, how he loved to steal human food. We lost my perfectly crafted Thanksgiving pies to him 2 years in a row. Some would say I'm a slow learner. Dex would look you directly in the eyes for long periods of time. And he always wanted you to talk right directly to him. If I opened the dishwasher, he'd jump over the door and demand I close it because he disliked it being open. The reason is because if his dad happened to pull in at home, it impeded him running straight for the door. So he didn't like that open. He was funny and naughty and loving. He was loyal and energetic and stubborn. He was such a good boy. On the day I received the call that my cancer was back, I was all alone at the house, and Dex was sound asleep on the couch, and he was a hard sleeper. It was only usually a cheese wrapper that could bring him out of such a slumber. As I hung up the phone, tears began to fall. And I looked up, and there's Dexter sitting solemnly right in front of me, staring me dead in the eyes, as if to say, Mama, God's got you, and I do too. And I thought, Lord Jesus, thank you for this dog. And right then, Dexter came over to me, and he leaned right against me with his full weight and warmth of his body, while I prayed and cried and petted his head. He didn't move for 20 minutes. And I know that that was a tangible source of love and comfort, divinely crafted from God. On Dexter's last day with us, Steve and I sat brokenhearted in the living room. We began to pray and talk through all that we were feeling. And unbeknownst to the other, God was giving us the same exact message that Dexter was from him. Though we were hurting, the Lord didn't want us to miss this revelation. 10 years equals an astronomical number of moments. Moments where God used this dog to touch us, comfort us, welcome us, humor us, and most importantly, love us. Dexter was never truly ours. He was always God's creature, divinely appointed to meet our secondary needs and help us to thrive. We were significant to Dex, and he was to us. Enjoying unexpected variety every day. Remember this list? These secondary needs? We were blessed by love and connection to one of God's creatures. All of us experienced growth in countless areas with that big brown dog by our side, contributing to his life while he contributed to ours, all under the certainty that God is in control and orchestrated the whole thing for a long game of love.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They really say, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
God is not only the master of miracles, but also the master of moments. Don't miss the moments he's orchestrating for you. In the 3 years of Christ's ministry, the place he did the least amount of miracles was his hometown of Nazareth. Why? Because they rejected his power. You see, they thought they knew Jesus. They had their own ideas of who he was and what he could do. They put him in a box with their preconceived notions. And my question is, do we do that? do we miss divine moments because we think we know what God's provisions look like? The Creator has all of earth at his fingertips, and he uses every inch of it for the purpose of his expression. From stunning sunsets to the strangers you meet outside of an ER room, God is forming moments. I challenge you. Look at your life. Open your spiritual eyes to your day-to-day encounters and see the way the Lord is personally touching you, meeting your secondary needs, and helping you to thrive through moments. Take in all he has for you and learn from it. Embrace his long game of love by recognizing these encounters for what they are, gifts from him. And most importantly, give him the glory, the honor, and the praise for the how, the who, and the what he uses to reach out from heaven and touch you in a tangible way. And lastly, be like Dex. Look people in the eyes until they feel like you're connecting with their soul. Sit silently with someone who's hurting, pressing in so they simply feel safe and loved. Eat the pie, but be ready to go at all times. And lastly, be genuinely, ridiculously, extravagantly excited to see people. They need that in their lives. This world is filled with the beauty of God, just waiting for you to recognize that it's him. Your celestial Father, reaching out to touch you, to bless you with incredible, fulfilling moments, meant to reveal his long game of love, which is Christ's very real, very personal presence in your life. Thank you for allowing me to share this testimony with you, for seeing this beautiful brown dog that blessed us for 10 years by the hand of God. I appreciate all of you, and that's all I had to share tonight.
Give her one more hand, will you, tonight? Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm just thankful for the friendship that the Vineyards have become to the McDonald family. And I knew something was up when Steve walked in tonight, but I wasn't going to touch it until after service. And God bless you so much. I love your tender heart. It's beautiful. We were talking... we got 3 minutes. We were talking earlier today. I had met with a couple people right in the Outback, and we began to talk about friendship. And it rolled in to today from last night. We had a gentleman come that I've known probably 30 years since I was a boy, and he began to share in front of the men's group about a difficulty with alcoholism that he's had in private for many, many years, and began to share that right in front of the whole group of men. He said, I need to take this step because I need you guys to keep me accountable. I need a support system. And then I come in today and we begin to have the same conversation back there about the reasons why we don't open up our hearts to friendship. And then we come in here tonight, begin to talk about friendship. I'm an animal lover, so I was choking back the tears up front here. But I just want to say to someone that has come in tonight, and the Lord has spoke to you in a profound way about friendship, and you've done life alone for a long time. Anybody done life alone? Anybody in here? Not fun, is it? I want to encourage you tonight. This is a place, and I could go around the room, the Vineyard family. This is a place, and I said this today to someone. You they said, I don't want to be judged. And they said, I don't want you to think of me different. And the truth is, humanity does judge. Humanity looks at people and makes judgment. But when the love of God is a part of your life, you look beyond the judgment. You look beyond the fault. You look beyond the issues. And you love the people regardless. That's what God's love does in people. And let me just say this tonight. If you do life alone, if you do ministry alone, we talk to so many people in ministries. They're totally alone. They're lonely. They're discouraged because they don't have friendship. And I know there's people watching tonight from all over the place. I want to encourage you to get connected. And this is a place. This is a people. This place, our groups, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, all throughout the week are places where people genuinely love and care for other people. Don't do life alone. Don't be discouraged alone. Get together with the people of God and let the people of God encourage you. Can you say amen to that tonight?
Amen.
And aren't you just so thankful for the Vineyard family?
Thank you.
And listen, Steve, I'll eat the pie anytime, okay? I'll fill in, okay? And I mean that. We'll fill in. And just lift your hand to the Lord tonight. If you say, yeah, I need some friendship tonight, lift your hand before the Lord.
We all need friendship.
Lord, I pray for pointed relationships to take place because of this night and this moment. Even for one tonight that says, I've been hurt too many times. I've been embarrassed too many times. I've embarrassed myself too many times. I can't do it again. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd soften a heart and God, that you'd connect them with people. Our prayer tonight is that you'd bring people into our lives, pointed relationships that matter for kingdom. And we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 5 years ago, I asked the Lord for pointed relationships in my life. And can I tell you, it's almost 6 years now, 6 years later, I have the greatest relationships in my life that I've ever experienced ever before. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for them. Yeah, give the Lord one more praise. This Sunday, I'm going to minister from the subject, certainly, that God will bring things to pass that you know he's spoken to you. You know he's promised you. You know that you had a dream. You had a promise in your heart. And you thought at one point or another, I don't know. I just don't know if it's going to come to pass. I don't know if I'm going to see it. This Sunday, the message is titled, It Will Certainly Come to Pass. I love you guys. We'll see you real soon. Those of you that are at home, God bless you guys. Have a great night.